RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
He's your radio friend with lots and lots of good health information and advice. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Well, this is the Power of Health radio show, and I welcome you to the show. Today I have Natasha Trenev and Dr. Jaggi Rao, and we are talking about the skin and the connection of healthy skin with our guts being more in balance. Dr. Rao, when patients come to see you, obviously you are very much of an integrative physician, and you understand the whole balance of the body, and thank you for being one of those kind of physicians. The idea of diet and probiotics and what we eat and how we process our food, how do you think that all ties into what we see in the mirror every day with our outward skin?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Jeff. Initially, we used to think that it had no impact. And in fact, the older studies were improperly done, or I would say not comprehensive enough to show that it had an impact. But I can tell you, even empirically, that it most certainly does have an impact. Healthy living, what we eat, anything that we put into our body does have an impact on how our skin is. In fact, even the medication, you know, why would a medication be the only thing that has an impact because we're ingesting it? No, in fact, foods and other things, including probiotics, do have a dramatic effect in some cases. An example of that would be acne. So now we've changed our tune in dermatology, and we do say that certain foods will exacerbate acne. And if you have a genetic tendency towards it, then certainly eating certain products will make things worse.
You know, Natasha, as he's talking about this, it's so nice to see that we are getting this information from, you know, both sides of the field now. I love it that we are seeing a bigger picture of gut and skin health and the correlation between the two.
Yes, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation off mic, that I remembered about a client or customer mm-hmm. that about 15 years ago by the name of Nancy, who was covered, I believe, about 98% of her body in eczema. And she had been everywhere and seen everyone. And she had heard me doing a show such as this one and said that the eczema was so bad that people used to pull their children away from her in the supermarket. And she said her quality of life was, you know, completely compromised. And long story short, that in her case, when she fixed the composition of her microbiota in her gut, the ending result was a completely clearing of the skin. And the only scars that were left were the scars where she left scars from excessive itching. But everywhere else, the skin was brought back to normal. And unfortunately, I didn't do more clinical trials, and I believe that more clinical trials are needed, but I have personally seen many evidence of this probiotic consumption and the change in the diet having a beautiful effect on the clarity and the texture of the skin.
You know, Dr. Rao, today we see all these skin conditions. We hear about rosacea, about eczema, psoriasis, dermatitis, even scalp disorders like seborrhea, and people just know there's a skin problem. And are they all in their own way related to the inside of our body and what we're doing? And are they intimately connected? And are they really that far away from each other?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jeff. I don't know the full answer to that, but I would say now, even more so than ever before, that yes, there is an interconnection. There is a relation to what's going on inside. We had performed a trial, myself and Natasha, not too long ago, just 2 years ago, where we attempted to see the effect of probiotics on the treatment of acne, and we had three arms. One was probiotic itself, two was probiotics plus antibiotics, and the third was both together. The second was just antibiotics themselves. And I thought for sure the probiotics would help only in mitigating the side effects of the antibiotics. But to my utter astonishment, probiotics by themselves will help one's skin. And I never thought that would be the case. And even since then, almost every week, I'm getting my colleagues telling me, wow, this is incredible. Maybe we should be giving people probiotics prophylactically for a lot of skin conditions. And I think the answer is yes.
You know, I think that we are all works in progress. And people say all the time, well, how come we didn't know this before? And, you know, I the things that we see so much of today, we might not have seen as many of these problems in the past. And our lifestyles are different. You know, more pollution, more chemicals in the food, more widespread antibiotics in the food supply. And, of course, antibiotics being given out prophylactically. You know, people go to their doctor. And I have doctor friends all over the country that say, well, they wanted the antibiotic. I knew it wasn't going to do anything. But we're requesting them now, and now we've overused them to such a degree that, you know, when we really want them to work, they have a hard time doing their job.
Very much, or they have side effects.
Exactly.
You know, are you seeing, Dr. Jaggi, are you seeing in your practice more patients with acne than you have in the previous years? Is it increasing, declining? Are you seeing more skin conditions like psoriasis or eczema, or is it, you know, stabled off in Canada?
No, that's a good point, Natasha. I am definitely seeing not only more acne, but also I'm seeing it at an earlier age. Now, there's a lot of reasons potentially for that. People talk about hormones, fortified in foods, et cetera. Perhaps that's it. Precocious puberty is also increasing. But I think also awareness, like people are learning more about their acne. They also have access to the internet, and studies such as what we had shown hopefully will help people to treat it a little bit more comprehensively and holistically.
Well, you know that speaking of hormones, the microbiota is essential in affecting not only genetic expression, but the production of hormones. It can turn off millions of genes, the change in the microbiota. So if you have the wrong bacteria, they'll turn on or turn off the genes that may cause problems or may help you with the problem. And also the recycling of hormones happens when you have a healthy microbiota. And people fail to even learn about this in school. And I don't know if you were ever taught this in your medical school, but now it's more or less accepted scientific fact that, the microbiota can, genetically control what genes are turned on and off.
You know, it makes a lot of sense, but no, I don't believe they it's part of the regular curriculum for Western medicine.
Wow, that's disappointing to say the least. So have you seen, you say you see more acne at an earlier age. What age would you say you're seeing the acne now?
Well, you know, we used to start seeing acne by the age of 10 or 11 years of age, and now we're seeing it as early as 7, 8 years old, if you can imagine that.
Oh, I can imagine that.
I can too.
Are you seeing it more? Are you seeing it more in infants or really young children?
Yeah, actually, we always have in a way. There is a form of acne that happens in the first year of life. There's two actually. One of them is called neonatal acne, which we believe is just due to hormones that are circulated through the placenta and through the womb to a growing fetus. So when a child is born, sometimes they will have a little bit of comedonal acne. The second is called infantile acne that we see at about 1 year of age, and we believe that's just a natural genetic, I guess you can say, upswing of the oil glands. The oil glands tend to have a little bit of a spike in terms of activity at year one, and then it's supposed to happen at puberty, but it's the puberty one that we're seeing a lot earlier.
You know, Dr. Rao, interestingly enough, you know, we talk a lot about that healthy trinity here and Natasha's philosophy behind diet and quality probiotics and exercise. And I think when I talk to people and I talk to them about sweating, you know, and getting out and exercising and moving their blood supply and increasing their cardiovascular system and, you know, cleaning out their pores by sweating, I think it's important. And I think the diet is important. I think reestablishing your probiotics to your good bacteria in your system. And some people say, well, the exercise is the hard part they have doing, but I think that's crucial. I think that's part of getting a body healthy is to be able to increase your circulation and sweat out through your pores.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Jeff. Not just the circulation, but also the metabolism, right?
Yeah.
If you're and hormonally as well, because I mean, there's things that we just don't know or in Western medicine. For example, there's insulin. We know that insulin as a hormone is very essential and important. We don't know the full extent to that statement, right? I mean, if you mobilize yourself and you have an active environment and your activity is matching that of good eating habits, I think it's going to also mobilize your insulin to an appropriate level, right? And insulin has all kinds of effects on not just our endocrine system, but also our skin.
Would it not also be important for us to realize that a good diet and using proper probiotics and exercise are also helping to reduce inflammation? Because it seems today that people are getting their blood work tested, and I've heard so many doctors say that we actually live in this field of systemic inflammation, and it's affecting everything in our body. It's like the accelerator that makes everything worse.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, I think that levels of inflammation can increase and decrease also by our activity, right? And the adrenaline levels and maybe even other hormones that we're just starting to learn about. And I'm certain that they're affected by gut flora.
You know, Natasha, when you talk about this healthy trinity, and I stress it all the time because it just makes really, really good sense. And isn't it interesting that when it clicks and they really understand about reestablishing and movement and reduction of inflammation and good diet and good rest and water, how these basic things that, you know, many of us learned when we were kids, we just put it on the back burner for such a long time, that once we regain some of the things that we might already know, how dramatic your life can change.
Oh, absolutely. You know, now for the first time in the history of medical practice, you're seeing divisions of internal medicine talking to gastroenterologists, not lecturing to each other, but actually having labs where they talk to each other and discovering how each phase of the medical science is affected by this knowledge that we're gaining from the microbiome, which, by the way, means the sum of all the genetic material found in the microbes lining your 27 feet of gut, and that, you know, how diet affects the composition of this microbiota is well established now. And in basically in the field of weight loss and weight gain, we know that, you know, by consuming highly processed foods and artificial sugars also has an impact on the quality of the microbiota, which changes according to our dietary dictates. And consuming even probiotic junk food, as I call it, is not good for our microbiota. And I'm certain this has expression in our skin, because the diet will affect the level of good and bad bacteria found in our gut, because simple carbohydrates and sugar do feed pathogens and bad bacteria, and they will cause the inflammatory reaction from the immune system and will manifest in inflammatory conditions, whether on the skin or inside of our body. And I think this is something that we have to grasp as a society, that the days of just treating one part of the body are you know, going to evolve into a sphere where medicine has to take a much more holistic approach, rather with dealing with skin problems or joint problems or weight gain or whatever may be affecting our body.
Natasha, real quickly, I know we want to touch on this a little bit, but with probiotics, there are strains of bacteria. Are there not certain strains that are more effective than others? And are there strains that are more effective for what this topic we're talking about today, which is the skin?
Well, absolutely. You have to have a strain that will express the production of certain bacteriocins. In other words, they produce their own antimicrobial compounds to dominate their environment. And this is very important that, you know, I would say like 98 to 99% of the products on the marketplace are not made by the people who are selling them, and they really don't check their bacteria, whether or not each batch is genetically the same as the previous one, and that you have the organisms that like to live in the small intestine, that like to live in the large intestine, that want to be part of your transient flora. And believe me when I tell you, bacteria are very smart, and they don't do anything that's not in their best interest. So if you don't train them to do these things when you manufacture them and then make sure that they're stable during warehousing and transport, and that when they reach the body and you ingest them, that they can survive the stomach acid to start functioning in the small intestine. If not all of this criteria is met, then you have lost. And this is where we're taking a huge giant step backwards. We're making progress in the dietary realm, but in the understanding of the selection of bacterial strains and probiotic supplements, we're still in the dark ages, and really people are clueless on what the definition is of a good probiotic or an inferior probiotic.
You know, Dr. Rao, we touched on this briefly before, but, you know, we have this huge amount of our society today that are using these proton pump inhibitors because they're having a hard time or they're just annoyed and they don't realize that changing their diet would make a difference and, you know, supplementing enzymes and things like that. But people have gravitated toward these proton and pump inhibitors because of gas and bloating and heartburn and indigestion, and they're shutting down, you know, some of their acid.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard for them to realize that something that may be getting rid of a symptom could actually be causing more problems down the road. And it's hard to say that when somebody's been suffering and they're like, oh, I feel better now. I'm fixed.
That's right. Exactly. No, I agree. You know, unfortunately, our whole society is symptom driven. And, we understand that. I mean, that's human nature, right, to want a quick fix. But unfortunately, it's not a quick fix, right? It has ramifications for the big picture, and in fact, could be hurting us down the road.
You know, and I think Natasha talks on this all the time. You know, it is about reestablishing. It is about building a common foundation in our digestive system and not just taking things for granted that you just chew food and swallow it and it's supposed to do its job, and being more selective about the foods that we're eating. I mean, there is work involved in getting healthy. It's not just, you know, the idea of just popping one pill and not doing anything else. It is an intricate process, and listening to our body. I think most of us, when our body starts talking or yelling at us, it's kind of like when our brakes are squealing on the car, we just turn up the radio. We don't want to deal with it. You know, we find a way to cover it up. But Natasha will be the first to tell you that you have to listen to your body.
That's a very good analogy.
Yes, I am, and that's what I wanted to just summarize, you know, the study that I was very privileged to do with Dr. Rao, and he's an extremely modest person, but, you know, he is a very acclaimed dermatology teacher and medical doctor, and I was really proud that our study was also presented at the 70th annual meeting of the American Academy of Dermatology and was published in a rather prestigious journal thanks to Dr. Rao and his support of the paper with his resident, Dr. Gordon Jung. And I just wanted to ask Dr. Rao is what feedback he had when the study was presented at the Academy and once it was published in the Journal of Cutaneous Medicine and Surgery.
Oh, you're very kind, firstly, Natasha. Thank you so much. You know, we had an opportunity to gauge the effect of probiotics on the treatment of mild to moderate acne a couple of years ago, and we presented it at the annual meeting of the American Academy of Dermatology, and it met with incredible review. People were quite shocked, I would say, to learn that probiotics not only help in mitigating side effects of antibiotics, but they also, by in and of themselves, actually had shown a great improvement in one's acne in reducing inflammation, which is something that none of us had predicted. I certainly didn't think that arm would have done as well as it did, and nor did any of my colleagues. And to this day, I'm still getting comments regarding that.
You know, like I said before, it's a work in progress, and we are all learning so much. And as the world continually keeps turning, sometimes at our own hand and our own fork and knife and spoon and our choices and the way that we've created relationships, unhealthy relationships with food, you know, and we've taken food from something that we, you know, eat to live to a situation where today we live to eat. And we've basically fed and nourished every one of our relationships and everything that we're doing every day, our moods and our frustrations and our celebrations and the things that we do every single day with food. We need to remember that we have to change that food. And we need to remember it is part of what Natasha calls the healthy trinity. Great exercise that you can do constructively and in a regular basis. Good food and great quality probiotics formulated correctly by a company that does it right. Hopefully you'll do all of those and everything will be much better and you'll be much healthier and you'll start to reflect the outward part of your skin that all of us are trying to achieve. Beautiful skin can be achieved, but there is work involved. This is Dr. Jeffrey Burke. This is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this segment and all of my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. Thank you to my guests, Natasha Trenev and Dr. Jaggi Rao.